And welcome to the Habits and Home Show. I'm your host, Lisa Lazat, and I help busy moms bring order to their homes by downsizing and decluttering and ditching old habits in exchange for systems that bring peace and more enjoyment to their lives. If you're a mom trying to show the love of Jesus to your family, but the clutter in your home keeps you overwhelmed and frustrated, you have come to the right place. On this podcast, you will hear easy step-by-step tips to declutter and create systems so you can keep your home organized and finally walk in the peace God has promised you. Need some accountability? I've got you covered there too. Join the Accountability Club, a community of like-minded mamas decluttering and systemizing our homes together. Are you ready, friend? Let's get started. Hey friends, and welcome to the show. This is part two of our kitchen counter culprits and how to minimize the clutter in your kitchen. Now, before we dive in, I do want to let you know that I have changed my mind and we are not taking a break in the Accountability Club. When I announced this on our coaching call this month to the members inside the club, they were so sad and they want support to keep going through the summer. They do not need or want a break, but we are going to simplify things. So if you are interested in getting started and getting some support in your home to declutter it and create systems, as well as some really good home management habits, then dive in. It is super affordable at only $20 a month, and you can get started in 1 month and take another month off. It's really easy to start and stop at any point. Don't be scared. I also do one-on-one coaching if group coaching is not your thing. You can find both of those links below. All right, so let's dive into today's topic, which is 10 more kitchen counter culprits and how to minimize the clutter in your kitchen. All right, so we are going to continue with our numbering from the last episode, and this is number 11, school papers. If you are a mom who has children of school ages, you know that those school papers, you don't know what to do with them. And so they come home in your kid's book bag and you want to declutter your kid's book bag. So you take it out, you put it on the counter with the intent of getting around to sorting it later, but you never do. Now, I recommend that you go ahead and take the time to set up your kids' childhood memory boxes. If those are already established and in place, it makes it really easy to know where you're going to put school papers that are sentimental to you, okay? And then the rest of them, bless and release, and get your child used to throwing away their artwork and their papers at a young age. You know, if you do a little bit along and along, it doesn't hurt so much when you do it all at once, right? I was talking to a member of our Accountability Club this past Tuesday, and she's having a hard time letting go of her kids' toys. Well, she's held on to all of them. And so now her kids are a lot older, and she knows that she has to tackle this, but because she hasn't done little by little and allow herself to experience the grief in little amounts, it's now very grievous in a large amount when she's having to get rid of a lot of her kids' stuff. So I really recommend rip the Band-Aid off. Teach your kids at a young age to let go of things. Get into the habit of doing this. And you can start with something as simple as their school papers. Now, the papers that you do need to keep, other than sentimental papers, have a designated spot like a clipboard in your command center or on the inside of your pantry door to hold school papers that have a date on them, or you need to turn them in, or you need to refer back to them. That's exactly what we have. I have, when you walk in our back door, I have a big calendar there, and I have a clipboard right beside it. It's actually in our kitchen slash dining room area by our back door, and it's just a temporary holding spot for any papers that I need to go back to. All right, so pick your one spot and put it there, as well as get your childhood sentimental boxes set in place. Number 12, lunch boxes. Okay, so I'm a little bit more gracious in this area because my kids take their lunches to school every day and I don't necessarily want to put them away in the cabinet just to get them out the next morning. So I create a daily after school routine with my kids. I started this at the very beginning of the school year and y'all, old dogs can be taught new tricks. My kids just started school for the first time ever at 11 years old, 13, and 15. And so if I can teach old dogs new tricks, you can teach your little kids these habits and routines as well. So what that routine looks like, well, first of all, you need to realize you need to create one habit, one routine at a time. You can't teach your kids a million things all at once. You have to break it down and make it really simple. So what we do is we pull up to the house and I always remind them of the three things, my after school three-step system. I tell them to put their book bags in the pantry, okay, because we don't have a holding place for book bags, so that's where they go for us. That's our solution. I tell them to empty their lunch boxes. And that started really, really simple in the beginning of them just putting their lunchbox on the counter and then I would empty their lunchbox. But after they got used to doing that, I was like, okay, let's take this a little bit further. Let's put a little bit more responsibility on you. And now the step is empty your lunchbox. And a part of that emptying is them actually washing everything that's in their lunchbox. Okay, so that's step two. And then the third one is to change out of your uniform and put your clothes away. My responsibility in this is to remind them what that three-step system is when we arrive home. That is simple. That's really easy to do, y'all. But when we overcomplicate it and we don't remember what to remind them, and we like I said, we overcomplicate it with too many words of what we're telling them instead of saying, okay, book bags and pantry, empty your lunchbox, go change. Y'all, that is simple. And if you say the same thing every day, it's going to stick. So lunchboxes have a temporary holding spot on the counter. For the weekend, they have a place above in a cabinet above a refrigerator. I don't want them living there forever, but it serves me to keep them there temporarily and not permanently. Number 13, decorations. All right, y'all are gonna hate me for this one, but if you are someone who has struggled with clutter in your kitchen for a really, really long time, you gotta get rid of the decorations in this retraining phase. Yep. You can't have decorations there because what happens is if you start with just one little thing, it's gonna be a magnet for attracting other things that are gonna collect there. So I say just clear the counters, even from the decorations, for, you know, during this retraining phase. And when you trust yourself and you've gotten into a really good reset habit at night of resetting your kitchen counters, then if you want to, bring those decorations back in and put them on your counter. But for me, it just stuck and I love the look of clear counters at the end of the night and when I wake up in the morning. I love that. So it's going to feel a little off at first and you're going to feel like, oh, it's empty. It doesn't feel cozy. I feel like there should be something there. Y'all, we have to get used to it. Little by little, we have to get used to it and you will create a new normal. So pack up those decorations temporarily and while you're in this retraining phase. Number 14. Medications and vitamins. Okay, so I understand that sometimes people have, you know, a couple of medications and vitamins that they take daily. That's great to have at arm's length. And if you want to grab a basket or a clear container to like contain them all in, yeah, that's something you can keep on your counter or even in your bathroom counter or your bathroom counter or your bathroom medicine cabinet. For me, I have, you know, in your kitchen where it, when your cabinets meet in the corner and then you have this weird, awkward, like really deep corner cabinet. Well, I just pretend like the back of the corner of that cabinet is not even there. So what I did is I got some spice racks and I brought them up to the edge of that corner cabinet and I put my medication stacked up on that spice rack right there on the front, like the front lowest shelf of that cabinet. And I know that that is my vitamins cabinet. That's where I go. And so it's really easy. I don't have to put them on the counter because I know that I'm going to do them every day anyway. However, if you are someone who needs to see them, I definitely recommend keeping them at least contained in something. You don't need to keep all your medications handy. The things that you use like less frequently, maybe not daily, pack them up in a medicine box and store them in a linen closet or in your bedroom closet. Only keep things that are that you use daily close to you, like in the kitchen. Number 15, pet supplies. Now, what might collect on your kitchen counters are pet medicines that you need to give your pet that you keep procrastinating. Maybe their dog leash, maybe dog toys. I think all of that is pretty disgusting to keep on a kitchen counter. But it happens, right? So I recommend having a designated basket or place for your dog's stuff. For us, I keep a basket at the bottom of our pantry for our dog's medicines, their hairbrush, their leash, all of those things. You can even put this in your arrival station or at the back door with inside the garage, okay? You don't necessarily have to have it on your kitchen counter, but designating a space or a spot for your pet supplies is half the battle. If you just designate a spot, it's more than likely going to end up back in that spot. Even if it lives on the kitchen counter temporarily, when you go to put it away, you're gonna know where to put it, right? Okay, number 16, recipe books. Sometimes these just collect recipe cards, recipe books. I think about like artists. People who use recipe books are typically creative people, and they're kind of like artists, how artists will have craft supplies everywhere and they just leave things out. Well, people who cook typically do the same thing. So I really recommend that just move your recipe books, like the bulk of them, just move them to a bookshelf. Your recipe books don't need to necessarily be kept in the kitchen. You can even designate a spot inside your pantry on the shelf to keep your recipe books. And then just get into the habit of, after you use the recipe card or the recipe books, just return it back to its spot. All right. Number 17, baking canisters. Oh, this is another one that y'all are going to argue with me about. So many people leave flour canisters and sugar canisters because, hello, the supermarkets sell it to us. Target has the cutest canisters. And so we buy it and we think that we need to store it on our counter. And if you're not a baker, you might use your flour maybe once a month, if that. But yet you give prime location to these items that you don't use very regularly. So let me just give you the permission. Even though it's cute, it can be cute in the pantry or in a cabinet. Like opening up your pantry, yeah, it's fun to have cute stuff on there. Just because it is a cute canister, you don't have to store it on your kitchen counter, especially if you don't use it daily. So let's give those flour canisters and sugar canisters another spot. Number 18, coffee supplies. Okay, so I'm okay with the coffee maker being on the counter. I did think when we were renovating our pantry, I'm going to put the coffee maker inside of our pantry. So I'm going to put an outlet in there. Well, I got to thinking, my husband is the only one that drinks coffee, and I really don't want to bless him by making him stand in the pantry, our teeny tiny pantry, to get his coffee cup, and it makes it awkward. So I just said, okay, the coffee maker is something that can stay on the counter, but the coffee supplies don't have to. So what we did is we installed some shelves right above the coffee pot or the coffee maker, and we just store those in cute little canisters so that it's really easy for him to access. Now if we didn't have those shelves, we would do it in the drawer right underneath that coffee maker. So I really recommend you can keep your coffee maker on the counter, but maybe put your coffee maker supplies or your coffee supplies in a cabinet above or below that coffee maker. All right. Number 19, charging cables and devices. Charging cables are so ugly, y'all. And it is so difficult to find the perfect solution for containing all of those chargers and, you know, where to store your devices and where to charge them. What I did personally is I created this little charging station, something that I got off of Amazon, and I actually put it in our living room right underneath the TV, because it's kind of like all the other items that are in there or all the other devices that are in there. It's like the TV, my son's PlayStation. So it kind of made sense to put it all together. And we had been charging our phones in our bedroom on our nightstand for years. And I'm like, I would kind of want to break that habit of picking up my phone, you know, first thing in the morning. So I'm going to start charging my phone in the living room as well, as while when my kids are growing up, they know that that is the habit. We charge our phones in the living room. We don't keep them in our bedroom. So I want to practice what I preach. And so I created this charging station in our living room. So try to think of an area that would be a great place to create a charging station and create that habit for your family. All right, last one, number 20, your to-do list and your calendars. Now, I'm a big advocate of using calendars and to-do lists, but they don't have to live permanently on the kitchen counter. So utilize your vertical storage by setting up a designated place in your command center, like I did, for your calendar and your to-do list. You can even use the inside of your pantry door or the inside of a cabinet. Like when you open a cabinet, use the inside of that door to put your calendar or your to-do list. Now, I would recommend that you use the same to-do list all the time. Now, us mamas who have ADHD, we will write things down everywhere, but I want you to simplify and get in the habit of putting everything on the same list each time. All right, so that covers our 20 kitchen counter culprits and how to minimize the clutter in your kitchen. Now, I do have a couple of tips for those of you who struggle with object permanence. You might be like, Lisa, I can't clear these things off my counter because I won't know where they are. They will not exist in my life anymore. I have 3 tips for you, okay? This has worked so great for me because I do struggle with object permanence as well. The first tip that I have for you is, of course, declutter and downsize the amount of stuff that you own and manage in your house. As an ADHD person, you have a certain capacity and a certain ability to be able to remember what you have and manage it. So the less that you have, the less you have to manage and remember, okay? So first and foremost, declutter and downsize down to your capacity. Number 2, now with what you have left, I recommend arranging your home to match the way you naturally move throughout your home daily, okay? I've talked about this before, setting your home up in an assembly line fashion. So when you're in your room, look around your room and see how you need to set it up so that it serves you and supports your morning routine and your evening routine, okay? Then move, where do you go next after your bedroom? Okay, you naturally will probably go into your bathroom. All right, plant your feet there and look around and say, okay, how do I need to set this up to support my daily morning and evening routines? Okay, finish that room, get it all set up. Where do you naturally move to next in your house? Okay, so set your house up in a way that naturally supports you, and you will be less likely to forget the things that you need on a daily basis and where they are. Okay. And then the last tip that I have for you is label everything. This is called the kindergarten method. So if you walk into a kindergarten classroom, the kindergarten teacher labels everything. Why? Well, because she's training the children how to read, and she's also training them where things belong and where to find them. So if you put something in a cabinet, temporarily put a sticky note on the outside of that cabinet that tells you what the contents of that cabinet is, and write it with a dark black marker so that it's easily seen, okay? Get creative with this. Just because it is hidden doesn't mean that it you know, you can't have a label on the outsides of the door, okay? So anybody who struggles with object permanence, you still have the opportunity to know where these things are hiding by putting a label on the outside of the basket or the door or the cabinet. All right, friends, let's take a good, healthy look at our kitchen counters and let's find the culprits. I really recommend you to declutter from right to left or left to right around your kitchen counters first. Give everything a home so that you know where to return things once you're done using them. And just adopt this mentality of using your kitchen counters as a workspace instead of storage. All right, friends, if you need any help decluttering and systemizing your home, you can jump inside the Accountability Club or click the link below to schedule a coaching consultation with me for one-to-one coaching. All right, I will see you right here next time on the Habits and Home Show. Hey friend, before you go, I wanted to tell you more about the Accountability Club. Each month, we'll tackle a new space in our homes and work together to declutter and set up systems so we can easily maintain order without getting overwhelmed. You'll get a new decluttering tutorial each month, the coaching and accountability you need to actually follow through, and encouragement without judgment from other Christian moms in a safe environment. And guess what? The entire club is off of social media, so you don't have to worry about distractions the world may throw at you. Sweet friend, if you're feeling stuck in your decluttering journey, this is the place for you. Click the link below to try out the Accountability Club and start decluttering today.